Hello, welcome back to Millennial 2020. I'm now here with Steed from Crypto for Nationalists. Crypto for Nationalists is a Telegram group, and it's got about 600 members now, and it's very, very useful resource for people to learn about cryptocurrency. And that is what this stream is going to be about, and nothing else. Because I want it to be just a sort of intro for people who are curious about crypto and but probably quite mystified by it. We want to demystify it. So welcome, Steed, and thank you for appearing.
Oh, good evening, Woz. I trust that you and the audience are enjoying a pleasant Yuletide and managing your anxiety in the face of global psychological abuse.
Well, we're doing our best. this is obviously quite busy for me. For other people, hopefully, it's quite leisurely. That's my goal. All right, so you wanted to begin with a disclaimer before we go into the actual topic.
Yeah. I mean, I never thought that I'd find myself as any kind of spokesman for cryptocurrency. It's not something I actually got into myself until about springtime this year. And it's important that anyone listening to this realizes that I'm not a financial advisor. Anyone who's seen any crypto YouTubers will have heard them say something similar. But it is important because I'm going to be painting quite an optimistic picture overall of crypto investment. But there are no guarantees whatsoever. Anything that you do with your savings, you know, that has to be your responsibility. And please do your own research. This is just a kind of initial guide to that. I'm also not necessarily going to be promoting the technology. I've got some fairly sizable misgivings about crypto as a whole, or most of it anyway. Just here to try and help nationalists to improve their lot materially, really. And the other thing is that since I began the initiative of Crypto for Nationalists, prices have risen quite a lot. So it absolutely still is worth getting into at this point. But the people who have been in crypto for a few months have already seen some good gains from it.
All right. Okay. And does that apply just to Bitcoin or to other currencies as well?
All of the other ones. Yeah. I mean, I'm actually, and I know that you've got Carl Thorburn coming on soon, who is a Bitcoin maximalist, and I'm not. Bitcoin only makes up about 25% of my personal portfolio, but actually, my main coin that I hold, Ethereum, has seen bigger gains since spring than my Bitcoin. And various other coins I've got have seen even bigger gains, but obviously I hold small amounts of them.
Right. Okay. Well, we can talk about that towards the end. For now, so you wanted to open by telling your own story about how you got into this.
I think it's quite a familiar story to many of the listeners. I heard about Bitcoin years and years ago, you know, probably near to its inception. And I just thought it was the most ludicrous concept. In many ways, I still do. Digital money, data that is worth something. I didn't understand what a blockchain was. I didn't understand how data could possibly be worth anything. I thought it was a fad, to be honest, and I didn't pay attention to it for many years. Then earlier this year, probably about the beginning of this year, a good friend of mine from Belgium, who's heavily invested and has been since the peak of before the peak of the last cycle. He's always looking to kind of help friends out and push them up toward, you know, nudge them towards it. So he initiated me and had me download a crypto wallet, and he sent me a small amount of crypto just to show me how it works. But I still wasn't sold. But then when coronavirus hit, I immediately knew what that was about. I knew where the social architects were going to try and take us, and that made me re-examine crypto. That's really my entry point.
I see. And well, I think you're absolutely right that, and this is a good entry into the topic, really. you're absolutely right that a lot of people simply don't understand how something that is digital and is essentially just data, how that can be, how can that have a value? So would you like to explain that? What is cryptocurrency?
Okay, I'll do my best. And chances are, I would imagine that Carl Thorburn will probably have a better insight into this than I do. But the key to it is blockchain technology. And I'm sure everyone will have heard of blockchain. It's become a very important technology in the last few years. And it was, as far as I know, it was invented by Satoshi Nakamoto, the supposed inventor, creator of Bitcoin. And how blockchain works is that, say you have as I understand it, say you have a series of blocks of data. Each consecutive block in that chain verifies the previous block. So it means that new blocks can't be just inserted or tampered with, because the moment they are, it breaks the whole chain. And you have miners who verify the entire chain every time a change is made. So I hope that's a simple enough sort of explanation, but it's you know, what I could never grasp when I first heard of Bitcoin was, how is it that you can have a currency that's made of data? Surely someone can just write some more coins into it and inflate the currency instantly. Surely, you know, data can be added to, changed, rewritten, or, you know, all this kind of thing. But because of the blockchain technology, because each block in the chain, and Bitcoin is a blockchain, each block verifies the previous block, the entire chain can't be tampered with. And for that reason, there can only ever be 21 million Bitcoins in existence. And it's impossible for anyone to program additional coins into the blockchain. And the same principle applies to all of the other crypto assets that are in existence, of which there are hundreds, if not thousands now.
So I guess the question is, then, how does this... So it's precisely the fact that it cannot be added to which creates its value. It's precisely the scarcity that creates the value.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have to say that that is specific to certain coins like Bitcoin and Litecoin and Dash and Bitcoin Cash and various others. Scarcity is built into those because they are designed as currencies. However, other crypto assets, which aren't necessarily currencies, so to speak, they're not just a medium of exchange like Ethereum or Chainlink. I think Chainlink does have a finite supply, but it's high. It's like 100 billion or something like that. It's very high. Whereas Ethereum doesn't have a capped supply, but the Ethereum tokens are released in a certain way so as not to inflate the overall currency. So it differs depending on the crypto asset that you're talking about.
And Ethereum is a strange thing in itself, isn't it? Because it has this thing about function being part of what it does. I can't understand this. It's something I haven't grasped. I don't know if you would be able to explain it, but I'll have a go.
People often call Bitcoin digital gold. The way it was put to me when I first came into crypto was that if Bitcoin is digital gold, then Ethereum is digital oil, because its worth is based on its practical use. What Ethereum is it's an open source platform for building decentralized functionality on top of. So it's almost like a kind of global operating system, if you will. I mean, I don't know if that's a good description, but it's kind of like that. And then on top of the Ethereum blockchain, by now hundreds of different apps are built on top of that blockchain, and they use Ethereum as the kind of currency to lubricate the functionality of those apps. So when you have transactions between different apps or between users and the app and holders and the app, those transactions are paid for using Ethereum. And that's what gives Ethereum its worth, is that it is kind of like a currency, but it's almost more like a fuel, which fuels the overall ecosystem rather than a means of just a purely a means of exchange.
Yeah. I think I understand what you're saying. It makes things happen.
Yeah.
It's a way to make things happen. Whereas Bitcoin would be a way to pay for things to happen, so to speak.
Yeah. And the other key to Ethereum is smart contracts. So, and a whole system which is being built on it called DeFi, which is, I have to say, also being built on other blockchains as well. There are various kind of challenges and alternatives to Ethereum, but Ethereum is the main one that's being used by the most people and the most programmers at the moment, the most developers. And so you have this whole Ethereum caters for smart contracts. So if you think about how in, you know, the old world, in inverted commas, you know, if you were to say purchase a house, you would have an agreement between yourself and the seller via a solicitor and an estate agent and whatever. You know, there are middlemen there, and the kind of the verification of that deal being met, the bargain being met, is kind of down to human decisions. Whereas with smart contracts on Ethereum, they're all done, it's all done automatically and in a decentralized way. So you don't have a human element in there. You know, you have an agreement between two parties on the blockchain, and the blockchain itself verifies when both ends of that bargain have been met, and then automatically provides each party with what they're supposed to be provided with. And this ties into a whole new thing called DeFi, decentralized finance, which is this is the main thing which I'm bullish on over the next year or few years, because this ties very much into the digital society that that they're trying to create for us, where we're going to have this, where everything is going to be done in a so-called decentralized way, digitally, with no middlemen, you know, globally in seconds. And so I'm not bullish in the sense that I approve of this technology. I'm bullish in the sense that I believe it's going to play a very, very important role in the society to come, which many of us aren't comfortable with. But in terms of an investment, and in terms of kind of trying to almost use this new system against itself, I'm very optimistic about it.
Well, exactly. This is something where you now see in the last few weeks, even as recently as that, you're now seeing politicians and economists suddenly talking about cryptocurrency and as if it's a legitimate thing, whereas before there was a huge amount of from established people or establishment politicians and so on, there was a huge amount of skepticism towards crypto. I think that's changed even just, as I say, in the last month or so, which is quite remarkable. I think perhaps because Bitcoin has hit a new record for its value. It just surpassed $23,000 per Bitcoin a few days ago. So yeah, it seems to be getting serious in a way that, you know, prior, but before this, they could write it off as a sort of fad or something sort of fantastical. But now it's becoming much more real for them.
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit kind of cynical on that front, I have to be honest. And I mean, I've not read his book, but Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum apparently was writing about blockchain technology in his Fourth Industrial Revolution.
Klaus Schwab.
So I can't help thinking that the social architects are actually steering things this way, and they're all, many nations are talking about central bank digital currencies. I believe China has already begun to release its one, its digital yuan. So I think that's the way that everything is going. Everything is going to, all currency, all exchanges are going to become digital. the question as to of whether Bitcoin plays into that system or is somehow a like a hedge against that system, I think that's still up for debate. But certainly with things like Ethereum, and there's a Korean blockchain called Icon, which they're looking to build digital IDs on that blockchain. I believe there are certain developers who are looking to build digital IDs on the Ethereum blockchain as well. So in a sense, I do feel like they're using blockchain technology and crypto to sort of build our digital prison around us.
Well, this is a problem because remember, the internet used to be the Wild West, and now it's the prisons of Twitter and YouTube and Facebook where they can control you. So they have managed to subvert something that was free and freeing and made it into something nasty, something unpleasant. So it is possible. But of course, if you had got in on the dot-com revolution early, then that would give you an advantage. And I think in the same way, if you get in on cryptocurrency early now, that will give you an advantage in the future. This is something where you can, I think we can all choose to be steamrolled by it, or we can choose to have some influence on it and some stake in it in the future. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, absolutely. If I move on to onto how the Crypto for Nationalists initiative, how the idea for that came about. I mean, I was aware as someone who's been following nationalists like or content creators such as yourself and the Iconoclast and Mark Collett and various others. I've been aware that many take donations in cryptocurrency. So I knew that there was already a connection between the nationalist scene and cryptocurrency.
And I should say that when I started, I had no idea what Bitcoin was or how it all worked. This is back in 2016 or maybe even earlier, 2015. I heard this word Bitcoin. I remember meeting someone in Rotterdam in 2017, who said to me that she'd donated a lot of Bitcoin to me. And at the time, I didn't know, because it was just something that I'd started and then forgotten all about, because nobody was really talking about it in nationalism at that point. But since then, it's become much more of a thing. But I still think, and this is why I'm doing these streams, I still think that most people are baffled about it.
Yeah, and understandably so. It's been an extremely steep learning curve for me. For me, it was the fact that I had some savings. I've got a family, and I believe it's extremely important for us people like us to secure ourselves in the most independent way possible for the coming future. So
let me just back you up on that, because it is scary. Now, obviously, I'm a content creator. I'm a public face. We saw what happened recently with Laura Tyler and Mark Collett losing their bank accounts. That hasn't happened to me yet, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if it does happen to me, to everyone, all of us. There is also the matter of the online payment platforms. People get deplatformed from them all the time. Clearly, that world is not really, it's not, and so people will say, well, don't live off content creation then. But then this is my life. This is what I do. It's the thing I'm good at doing. So I want to live off it. There are loads of people are in that position. And of course, there's the other thing that once you're a public face, it's difficult to get a normal job at that point. Very difficult. So I think for a lot of people now, and especially in the future, if you want to be involved in dissident politics, you are going to need some way to live off that cannot just be taken from you at the click of a button by someone in Silicon Valley or indeed the British government. And so on. And again, this is why I think that crypto is so important, not just for me personally, but for the entire dissident movement. I think this is something that we really should transition to, because every day that we don't do that, we're sort of delaying the inevitable and giving our enemies power over us, which is something I know, I understand why people do it. It's because they're so habitual and they're comfortable with a PayPal account and whatever. But it's unnecessarily giving our enemies power over us.
Yeah, I absolutely fully agree, and I think there's two sides to it. There's crypto as a practical tool for dissidents, in terms of still being able to receive and send some form of currency, and for that, I do believe that the cryptocurrency called Monero is going to become extremely important, because Monero is essentially like Bitcoin. It has a limited supply. It's quite fast transactions and everything, but it's completely private. So Bitcoin can actually be tracked. A lot of people don't realize that, but if you buy Bitcoin on an exchange where you have given your personal details, and then you purchase Bitcoin and, you know, you send that to someone, that kind of chain of events can be tracked by the authorities if they want to. I think the various people are looking at ways around that, but the coin called Monero cannot be tracked. At the moment, it is completely private, and the developers of Monero are committed to that aspect of privacy. So there's that aspect of the more practical aspect of crypto. But then I think there's also the aspect of it being purely a great investment. So a means to acquire other things. So if you have some savings and you're looking to buy a home in a few years' time, and perhaps you're saving for a home, I would argue that the best thing you could do is consider putting at least some of those savings into good quality crypto assets, because in, well, as little as a year, I believe that some of them will have multiplied.
Well, it's definitely grown in the last year. I mean, what was it that it, I think it hit 17,000 at the end of 2017.
It's 20, just under $20,000.
And now, it's gone, but then it went down sharply in, I think, January 2018, the next month, and went down really far. And then it's spent the last few years gradually building back up. And recently there was another surge, and it's now up at 23. Well, I think it's about 23K just now. So why don't you talk about the other coins that you mentioned that have also grown over the last year or so?
Okay. I mean, I was advised, I did actually pay a small amount of money to an English guy who lives in, I think, Bali or something. He's a content creator, but more on the kind of conspiracy side of things. And he advised me, he had done very well from the previous bull cycle. So he advised me heavily towards Ethereum and Chainlink. And what Chainlink is, so I mentioned earlier about Ethereum having this whole thing of smart contracts. So there are various transactions happening across the Ethereum blockchain. What Chainlink does is it is able to pull in outside real world data into the digital blockchain. So for example, if a function on the Ethereum blockchain needs to know how much certain coins are, it can't necessarily do that from within the blockchain. It needs to do that by looking at multiple exchanges from kind of outside looking in. And there are various other kind of applications to that, but Chainlink is what's called an oracle. So it's extremely vital to the functioning of the whole DeFi ecosystem. And it's been a very good investment for me so far. And I didn't even get in that early.
This is Chainlink.
Chainlink, yes. Its ticker is Link, yeah. Anyone who's interested in this, if you go to coingecko.com, that's a website where you can see all of the listed coins in order of their market cap, so in order of how much worth is invested in that coin. Obviously, you'll see Bitcoin at the top. You'll see Ethereum second. Chainlink, I believe, is somewhere like, have a quick look, it's number 7 at the moment. So it's a very important coin. It's a big one. So those are two of my biggest investments, and two that I would still recommend to people. I mean, Chainlink has had a good surge over the last few months, not so much the last month or so, but I do believe that there's a lot of room for that to grow still.
So that's Chainlink, and what was the other one? Was it Monero or Ethereum?
Yeah, Monero more for the practical purposes. I do think it will grow in price a lot, but that's something that I think people should look at more for, like exchanges, actually being able to exchange money with dissidents, not so much as an investment, but as investment coins. Absolutely get some Bitcoin and some Ethereum, I would say. I would still suggest Chainlink. I kind of went a bit overboard, to be honest, and I've ended up with about 20 coins in my, or 20 assets in my portfolio. You know, most of them only making up less than 1% of the portfolio or whatever. But some of them have done well, some of them not so well. So I'm only going to name a few. I'm not going to name all of the ones that I've invested in, because certainly not all of them I think are good investments. And if I hadn't bought them to begin with, then I probably wouldn't be buying them now. But
this could be very useful information if you talk about the ones that are growing in value, because these are obviously the ones that other people will be interested in.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Sure. Let me just. I'm just going to have a quick look. And also, sorry to anyone who views prices in dollars, but I'm used to doing it in pounds sterling. Synthetics Network Token SNX. That's done quite well for me. It's quite high at the moment. I think that's worth looking at for people. I think that's a quality project. It's to do with derivatives. So it's a DeFi coin. It's part of the DeFi ecosystem. There's Polkadot, which Polkadot is a whole separate ecosystem blockchain to Ethereum, but it was created by one of the original founders of Ethereum. And I believe that Polkadot is looking to work with, to complement Ethereum, because Ethereum has issues where so many people and so many projects are using it that it has become quite sluggish and expensive to use. So there are various other sort of, you know, alternatives or even challengers who, you know, are claiming to be able to do what Ethereum does better, faster, cheaper. There's, you know, Cardano is one of them that I know a lot of people in our chat group are keen on. The only one that I'm personally quite bullish on is Polkadot, because they've stated that they've already got various projects built on top of the Polkadot ecosystem, and they're pledging to work to complement Ethereum, which, you know, I think is the smart thing to do, because Ethereum has the first mover advantage. So I think it's always going to be top of the pile.
What was the first one you mentioned?
SNX, Synthetics Network Token.
Right. Synthetics Network Token.
And I mean, that's had a bit of growth. So, you know, any of these that I mentioned, you know, please look at the charts, look at how they've grown over the last few months. Or even years, look up some videos on YouTube and see what experts are saying about these coins. And maybe even if you have time, read the white papers, read about the kind of promised functionality of the project and things. Another one that I'm quite keen on is that I've bought recently is Zilliqa, which is another blockchain, which is kind of similar, but it has, you can stake that one for quite high rewards. So you can essentially lock it up and receive interest on what you have. So for someone like me, who I'm not a trader, I'm holding this for all of these coins for at least a year. And then I'll be looking because, you know, something we haven't talked about is that many of us believe that there's a 4-year cycle roughly that's in effect. And at the end of 2021, this cycle is going to peak the end of next year, beginning of 2022. So now we're on the up. You know, the whole crypto market is on the up, and it's already risen quite a bit, but it's got a long, long way to go. So I think there's a lot of room for growth. What else? Okay. There's VE Chain. which is to do with supply chains, global supply chains. So it's it uses the blockchain to kind of certificate products on the global supply chain. I mean, that's a real kind of new world order project as far as I'm concerned, but probably for that reason it will do quite well.
Right, okay. So that's four you've named there. Mm-hmm. I think an obvious question that people will want to know is, how do you get into this? Like, what's the start? What's the first thing that you do in order to get into cryptocurrency?
Okay, well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it seems like a kind of boring answer, but definitely research. So go to coingecko.com or coinmarketcap.com. Have a look at what's there, what coins are out there. And if you click on the individual page for each coin, you'll usually find a link to the official website. You'll find a link to, you'll find charts going back to the beginning of the price movement. You'll find recent chart, you know, it will display, you know, hourly, daily, weekly charts, all of that. So you can see how much it's risen already. You can see if it's dropped a lot recently, which is, you know, often a good sign to consider buying into it, as opposed to if it's on a rally at the moment, then you might want to wait until it stops, because at any moment that rally might end and it might drop, and then you found your investment down. So do some research. Go to, you know, there are some great videos on YouTube. There are even some who aren't shilling certain coins. There are some that seem to be quite genuine, and they're actually trying to give honest, good information about these projects. And yeah, join our group. I mean, if you've got Telegram, Crypto for Nationalists, there's a channel.
And everyone should be on Telegram. If you don't have Telegram, get it now, because it's very, very useful.
Yeah. And I just want to mention as well, I mean, the Iconoclast was a big help with this, because I followed his channel, and he was obviously already invested in things like Chainlink. And he would post every now and then saying, you know, I hope everyone is enjoying the gains that they're making from this. So I thought, you know, he's obviously quite heavily invested. So via his magazine website, I got in touch with him and said, look, I've got this idea to set up a channel for nationalists to help them invest in crypto. You know, would you mind posting a link from your channel? And, you know, he was obliging, and he's become, you know, somewhat involved with the chat as well. So a lot of people came over because of that. And we've got Way of the World. He's invested in cryptocurrency, and a couple of others who may be perhaps a bit more anonymous about it. So yeah, come and join our Telegram group. There's a channel for those of you who don't want, an update for messages every 2 seconds, where I'll just post the really key kind of bits of news and information that I come across. But then we've got a related chat group, which...
Yeah, I should have said, I got a bit mixed up. The channel, now I should say on Telegram, a channel is, it's basically a chat group where only the owner can post messages. So it's for broadcasting. It's from one to many. That's what a channel is on Telegram. And so you've got a Telegram channel, and I think it has over 800 followers. And then the chat group, which is for everyone to discuss in, that has 570, I think, members. So that's what's going on Telegram. And it is a very useful resource. But when I asked you, how would someone get started? I meant literally, mm-hmm. Like, what does someone need to do in order? Like, so let's say someone said to you, okay, I'm convinced. I want to buy one Bitcoin, let's say, and I've got loads of money. I just want to buy one Bitcoin. What do I do? What would you say to them?
Yeah. So first things first, you want to sign up with an exchange. So, the ones that I would personally recommend would be, crypto.com, Binance.com or Kraken.com. Those are three that I've used personally. Binance in some ways is preferable, because they don't tend to want too much private information and kind of, you know, personal verification of your identity before you're actually able to make purchases, whereas crypto.com and kraken.com do. But to be honest, there's not really any getting around that. You know, anyone who wants to buy into cryptocurrency completely anonymously, you're going to have a hard time doing that. And unfortunately, it's probably only going to get harder, because as the governments see the growth of this, And as they start to gear up to release their own central bank digital currencies, they will try to make it more difficult for people to invest in these, rogue currencies that aren't, supposedly aren't under their control. So yeah, sign up with an exchange, get yourself verified. It can take a day or two sometimes. You might have to scan your passport or even, take a selfie of yourself holding your passport and stupid stuff like that. Then usually you can avoid fees by funding your exchange account by making a bank transfer rather than paying by a card. So I would always recommend, deciding how much you want to invest of your savings. And remember, only ever invest what you can afford to live without for the next year, or in worst case scenario, lose. Don't invest in something that you absolutely cannot afford to lose, because crypto, while potentially very prosperous, is also very volatile. You can wake up some mornings and your portfolio is down 20-30%. That happens quite regularly. So you need to be psychologically prepared for that as well. But so transfer your money from your bank account to your exchange. Have another look at CoinGecko. Decide what coins, after you've done your research, decide what coins you want to buy. If that's just Bitcoin, then it's really as simple as using the fiat money that you've put into your exchange account to purchase that Bitcoin. That Bitcoin will then sit in your exchange account. And
yeah, that'll be your Bitcoin wallet. For some people who are interested in that term, because they might not know what that means, a wallet is just the thing that holds your particular cryptocurrency in your exchange account.
Yeah, but what it does, it actually holds your keys. So every account has a private key. So you can never take possession of your crypto. It by the very nature of a blockchain, all of the data has to remain on the blockchain. You can't pull that data off of the blockchain. What you have is a key, a private key, which signifies how much of that blockchain you own, in effect. So when you have a wallet, what's being stored on that wallet is the key to your part of the blockchain, so to speak. It's almost like if you had a load of gold, if you had a bank vault and the bank vault had various rooms in it, you'd have the key to your vault. You never take possession of the gold. The gold always stays there in the vault, but you alone have the key to that vault. So it's the key which is important. And if you buy some Bitcoin, say on an exchange like Binance or Crypto.com or Kraken, if you leave that Bitcoin on the exchange, then you are not in possession of the key. The exchange is in possession of the key. And if something happens to that exchange, which is unlikely for these bigger exchanges, but if something were to happen to the exchange, if they were to go bust or they were to come under fire by, the Fed or the authorities in some way, then you could have your key compromised and therefore your ownership of the Bitcoin. So I would always recommend, after making your purchase, then withdrawing that crypto to a private wallet that you have, and you can download a free one. I always recommend Atomic Wallet, so atomicwallet.io. you can go there, you can download it. It's just a nice looking software program which you create a passphrase for, which you have to keep very, very safe, and a login password. You log into it, you click receive, and it will give you an address, and that is your Bitcoin address for that wallet. And then you go to your exchange and you can withdraw the Bitcoin to that address. Always do a small amount first when it's your first time, because of the decentralized nature of cryptocurrency. If you were to send your Bitcoin to the wrong address, it's gone forever. There's nothing can be done about that. It's there's no central authority who you can phone up crying to chase that down for you. It's gone. So you need to be very careful about always sending to the correct address. So it's always good to do a test first, and then you send your whole lot, and then it's in your possession. The keys are stored on your system, and it's very difficult to hack that. And if your system were to fail in some way, then you have got your passphrase, which you've hopefully written down on a piece of paper or something and hidden somewhere extremely safe. So with that passphrase, you can restore your wallet anywhere. You can restore your wallet, you know, by getting another laptop, downloading the same wallet and restoring the passphrase, and hey presto, your Bitcoin will be there again. So as long as you take certain precautions, then not a lot can go wrong. It's still a very deregulated industry, so there is still risk of, you know, hacking and things like that. But if you take some good precautions, then you can really mitigate that against that.
All right. So to sum this up then, make it as simple as possible for people, you would join an exchange like
crypto.com.
Yeah. Let's just say crypto.com. And then you'd get verified your ID. Apparently that is a legal requirement throughout Europe. You have to provide ID because this is about actual money. It's not fiat money, but it is money. So you join an exchange like crypto.com, get verified, transfer some money from your bank account into that, and then with that money, you can buy crypto of any, whichever currency you want. And then you extract that into your own offline wallet.
In a sense, although it is worth mentioning that exchanges only have certain coins that they list. So most of those big ones, they will list, you know, at least 30, 50, maybe even more coins of the bigger ones that you can buy directly on the exchange. Some of the smaller ones, if you want to get deeper into it, which this probably isn't the time and place for it, but you then have to kind of get into using things like Uniswap and MetaMask, where this is a decentralized exchange, so it's not run by a company. You are purchasing from a pool of crypto tokens that people have put there to be purchased, essentially. But certainly for a beginner, any of the coins that I would recommend a beginner investing in tend to be available on crypto.com or Binance or Kraken.
Right. Okay. A question from someone on DLive. So don't think of it as buying. It is literally a currency exchange, USD for something else. So you're not buying it. You're exchanging one money for another money. That's what someone's saying there. But of course, the other money has a higher rate of growth. That's the point.
It's like using pounds to buy euros.
Yeah, exactly. And then someone else asks, Woz, ask him how you spend it and who cashes it for you. Now, okay, so that's the other thing. An exchange can do the reverse of what we've described, where you have some, let's say, Bitcoin in there, and you sell it to the exchange, and it basically pays you for that. And so it gives you that's how you convert Bitcoin into fiat currency, into money. That's how it works. It's just if you're on an exchange, you can do that. Now, as for how you spend it, there are other ways in which you can spend cryptocurrency. Do you want to talk about that?
I can't say too much about that because for me, it's 100% about investment. I will be looking to buy quite a bit of Monero. That's more in preparation for the kind of, you know, the digital social credit system that I believe we're heading for, where, you know, the kind of the dissidents will be prevented from spending their digital UBI a few years down the line because of incorrect behavior. But then I think things like Monero will be useful for that, where being able to make exchanges almost in a black market kind of style.
Right. I mean, you can also use it on different websites, though, can't you? I mean, there are websites that now take crypto as payment.
Yeah, there are. I mean, I've never done it myself. And what I've heard people say about that is that, you know, a few years ago, it was more common for people to use Bitcoin as a medium of exchange to purchase things. But now that we've entered this bull market where Bitcoin is just shooting up, I mean, it's up about 200% in the last 6 months. So people would, to be honest, they'd have to be silly to use it to buy things, because that Bitcoin that you know that you've just used that whatever £10 of Bitcoin to buy a CD or something, you know, that could be worth £20 in a couple of months' time. So it's not really the smartest thing to do at this particular time. So I don't think there's too many retailers that are using that.
Yeah. Okay. And there are some other questions. Now, you might not know about these things. It's specific questions. What do you think about KuCoin, KuCoin?
Yeah, I've not heard of it. Is it to do with QAnon?
I've no idea. No, I don't think so. I don't think it's a trick question. It's yeah. KU. Then he asks, okay. Uphold is a good place to keep Bitcoin. Uphold.
Okay.
I don't know. And then he's got a question mark at the end of it. So I don't know whether he's asking or telling us.
No, I'm not. There are definitely people out there who know more about I mean, there's a huge number of coins out there, and everyone's got their own unique portfolio where they've invested in various different things. And no one has heard of everything, and no one has looked into everything. To be quite honest, I've tried not to look too much into it in the last few months because my budget for investing was largely spent months ago, and I'm trying not to.
It's like World of Warcraft or the world of comic books and so on. You get into it and there's just so much that you never get out of it again.
Yeah,
science fiction.
So can I just go back to an earlier question about selling your Bitcoin? Yeah, these exchanges, they're on and off ramps. So just as easily as you can put money, fiat money into it to purchase crypto, you can also, as long as the exchange lists that coin, you can then sell that coin back to the exchange and withdraw fiat money.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you can sell it, essentially. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then one other question. What do you think of Etoro? It's Etoro. Etoro. It's often advertised, which makes me suspicious. That's the question.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I think I had a quick look at it initially. I think they also sell precious metals as well. You can buy gold and silver there. I think it's an American thing. I don't know enough about it to comment really, but yeah, I'm skeptical as well because I see it advertised everywhere. And
okay. And then one person asks, here's a very good question, actually. Isn't it better to buy property?
100%. Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you. But my crypto investment is a means to that end. So I'm using this opportunity because I strongly believe that over the next year, the crypto market is going to skyrocket. In about a year, 18 months time, hopefully my initial investment will have multiplied. I'll be able to withdraw that and immediately purchase land with it.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, exactly. See, that's the kind of thing that I want people to be thinking about here, because it's something that grows. And so it makes things possible. Therefore, it's like, if you have this thing, it will afford more freedom in future, unless it goes down in value, which is a possibility. But if it grows in value, then you can buy it now. And in the future, you will be able to do more with that. It's an investment. And I think that a lot of people, a lot of millennials, especially, and God knows this will be true of the Zoomers as well, a lot of us cannot get on the property ladder. And the very idea of having investments is alien to our generation.
Yeah.
But this is an investment that is within our reach. It's very much within our reach. This is something that we can do to better ourselves, to improve our situations, so and to help each other, of course. But even just on a personal level, this is something that can improve your life. So this is there's another reason that I really want people to get into it.
Yeah, we can't count on in anything from the system anymore. You know, that much has become clear this year, I would say, more than any other, that we cannot count on the system for anything. We have to find our own independence, outside of the box ways of building wealth, of building a community, of bettering ourselves, improving our health. You know, these things are not going to be handed to us on a platter. And that was the idea behind Crypto for Nationalists, because, you know, I also noticed that there were quite a few non-white people who are quite heavy into crypto, and you know all power to them and that, but I want my folk to benefit from it. I want particularly nationalists who are going to bear the brunt of this new society. We more than anyone need to find independent means of securing ourselves for the future. And an important video I came across was by a guy on YouTube called Bob Lucas, who made a video called The 4-Year Journey, I think, where he demonstrates how Bitcoin has so far seemed to have gone through this four-year cycle, where every 4 years it peaks and then it drops quite a lot, and then it goes through a couple of years of sideways action and doesn't really do much, and then it goes on a huge bull run and it peaks again. And this seems to be the pattern. And the last time Bitcoin peaked was at the end of 2017. So it follows that the next time it's going to peak is going to be at the end of 2021. And we're on our way there now. And almost every analyst that you come across will say the same thing. So now is the time to look into it. And I want my fellow nationalists to be able to, if they've got some money put away, I want them to be able to multiply that so that they can help themselves, to secure themselves, you know, if they have their own family, to create security for their own family. And maybe even if they have money to spare, they can help fund initiatives, they can help bring the community together. You know, there are various things we should be able to do with these gains in the future.
Absolutely. I mean, again, money makes things possible. I think, again, people who haven't had professional jobs or been able to have savings, and don't, I think that, again, this is an alien thing to them, this idea that no one, you should never make money your God, right? That's obvious. And life is about far more than how much money you have or how much cryptocurrency you have. But it makes things possible, that often things that that simply aren't possible without it. So it's a simple matter of self-improvement. There are other things you can do and get healthy and all the rest of it. But one thing you can do is have money, is have wealth, because that enables you to help yourself and to help those you love and to help things you care about. So I absolutely think that this is something, for the reasons that we talked about earlier, that the establishment is cracking down on the traditional ways that people would support themselves in any kind of dissident politics. So this is something that we can do well in, I think. No matter how much money you have that to start off with, you can probably make more, you know, if you're sensible about it, if you look at the trends, you can probably do well in this. So I would urge people to get into it. One final question that's very germane indeed is, can a person make a living this way from cryptocurrency?
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of people who are traders, day traders, who have found a way to be successful. So they'll buy some Bitcoin or whatever currency. Other currencies tend to be better because they're more volatile. So they'll rise very fast and then they'll fall very fast. So as a day trader, you can, if you've do good research and you find coins at the right time, you can buy in, find that they'll triple their worth within 24 hours sometimes. Then you can sell at the higher price, and then purchase something else and just gradually build. You know, that's not something that I'm interested in. I don't have the emotional fortitude for that personally, to kind of be that tuned into the markets, and to take those kind of risks with my wealth. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend that, but there are people making good money doing that. And then, you know, there are people who invested in Bitcoin a long time ago, you know, who, you know, may have bought, you know, a dozen Bitcoins at $200, you know, many years ago, who are now sitting on, you know, I mean, what would a dozen, that'd be about $150,000 or something. No, more than that, $250,000 that they're sitting on. And, you know, yeah, they can pay themselves a wage essentially from that by cashing in, you know, a Bitcoin every 6 months or whatever. And you've got an average salary there. So, yeah, there are ways of doing it. But I'm only here to promote it as an investment, as a long term investment. So, you know, keep your job, continue to work hard and earn as much money as you can, put as much as you can afford to into crypto, and just be patient. and take another look in, you know, 9 months, 12 months. And I'm confident that you'll be pleasantly surprised at what you see.
All right, let's leave it at that. So this is Crypto for Nationalists, which is a Telegram channel and an associated Telegram chat group. I would advise everyone to get onto Telegram for a start, and then I would suggest that you might want to join these the channel and the group, because I think it'd be a very good idea. I also think, as said earlier, it'd be a good idea to get into crypto, and that's what the whole point of this stream is. So thank you very much, Steed, from Crypto for Nationalists.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I hope this has been useful for people. It's definitely been interesting for me. There will be other streams, at least one more, about cryptocurrency in Millennial 2020. In the meantime, I'll be back in an hour from now with hold on a second. Let me just make sure. I don't want to misinform you. Yes, it's Clossington in an hour from now. In the meantime, Steed from Crypto for Nationalists, thank you for appearing on Millennial 2020, and I'll see everyone else in a wee while from now.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.